Texans, an unarmed black teenager was shot by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri last month. People have been bringing attention to violence closer to home in Wisconsin's biggest city, some asking where the outrage is over violence in the African-American community. This sparked a column by James Causey urging people to stop talking about the violence and to start acting. He joins us now. He's an editorial writer and columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins us in our Milwaukee studio. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And we also have in our studio there in Milwaukee, Lakita Caldwell. She's a senior program manager at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee. Lakita, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, James, let's start with you. Why did you feel the need to write that column?
Well, that's kind of interesting. Every single time there's a shooting in the central city, I get email after email from people saying, you know, James, where's the outrage? How come people are not upset over this? And what they tried to do recently is tie in the number of shootings in Milwaukee to the outrage that was sparked in Ferguson. And I was responding to people individually saying there is outrage, but it's being shown in different ways. And there are a lot of people doing things to address it. And so I wanted to point out a lot of the organizations that are working day and night to help kids and help families. And you can see the outrage if you open your eyes. You see it in what people are doing with the memorials that they put up when people die. You see it when you go to their funerals, and I've been to a number of funerals this year and last year. You see it in people crying out, saying that they're tired of the violence. You see it in kids' faces when they go to school every day. And you see it in the pain and anguish of the parents who lose a kid or have a kid injured to violence. So the outrage is there. It's just that I was telling people, don't expect every single time someone is shot to have people marching up and down the street, because that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, because you don't see that, you don't see the anger. The anger and outrage is there.
In your column, you quote an alderman who says Milwaukee is just one or two deaths away from becoming like Ferguson. Do you think things are that tense, that tenuous there?
I was quoting Malele Coggs when she made that statement. And, you know, honestly, you know, you never know. It depends on the shooting. I mean, I think there was a lot of outrage when a child was killed on her playground while she was playing, doing what kids do. And there was a lot of outrage over that. So it depends on the shooting. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on a lot of things. But I think that all the elements are there for us to turn into a Ferguson. Yes, indeed, I do believe that. But I think it's the efforts made by people like Lakita Caldwell and what she's doing at the Boys and Girls Club in Milwaukee and others that are helping to try to maintain the calm and try to give kids positive things to do.
And Lakita, let's get into that. What kind of work are you doing there in the community to try to tackle some of these problems?
Well, one of the programs that I had the opportunity to create at the Boys and Girls Club is called Can You Hear Us Now? And it takes a look at the impact of trauma in the Lindsay Heights area. Young people are able to use different genres of art to express some of the traumas that they have faced in their community. The great thing about this program is that we can't do it by ourselves. We partner with the Milwaukee Police Department and the Fire Department. The aldermen worked with us that the kids actually interviewed all of the individuals from those organizations. And they also work with faith-based communities to find out how they grew up in the Milwaukee and what are some things that they can do to help support the young people and some of the issues that they're facing.
Lakita, you talked about the trauma that young people face. How do you see that? How, until they have the outlet that you're talking about, how does that trauma show itself?
We see the trauma. A lot of times we don't focus on it, but we see it when a young person is angry. There's a book that I read called She's Not Angry for Nothing, but the young people are not just, they don't just wake up and I'm angry. A lot of times they're angry because of an issue. For instance, some of the young people talked about seeing someone getting shot and not having counseling for that. This program came from a situation that I witnessed. I went to a young person's funeral and a fight broke out. I was traumatized from it. I ended up getting strep throat. So then I started to ask the question, what are the things that our young people are seeing? We see the behavior, and a lot of people say that our kids are bad. They're not bad. They're dealing with a lot of heavy issues that they shouldn't have to deal with. And the great thing about the Boys and Girls Club is we have a lot of programs that prevent, you know, our doors are open every day from 2:30 to 8 o'clock. And we get them off the streets and we give them opportunity. We get jobs for our teens. We have academic support. So with support and programs like Can You Hear Us Now, they have opportunities to not focus on the trauma or have a safe space where they have adults who they can talk to and get for us to get the help that they need to deal with the traumas that they have experienced.
Let's talk about Can You Hear Us Now, and it gives them a voice, an artistic voice in a way. What kind of things have come out of that?
From Can You Hear Us Now, we had a documentary that we premiered at the Oriental Theater. 1,100 people from the community. We had officers come. We had philanthropists come. And they heard, they were able to see, we had over 300 hours worth of footage. And they were able to see what took place in class. What were some of the stories that came out of doing the workshops? The great thing, another great thing about Can You Hear Us Now, it's not just the classwork, it's the field work. We took them to a college. We went to UW-Madison. We went to the Milwaukee Film Festival. They were one of our partners. The partners that were a part of this program really helped out. The media helped out. Fox 6 did a story where they came out and interviewed the young people, and they were actually able to hear from the voice of the young people's struggles that they have. And the dream Milwaukee they wished that they had. So it was a great community partnership. This year, we're doing a play. The kids are going to write a play. And in just a few weeks, we're going to pick the issue that we're going to focus on for the 2014-2015 season.
So, James, talking about the concept of outrage related to what Lakita was just talking about, do you see more and more people taking their anger, maybe their frustration with the situation, and saying, okay, I can't just be mad. I need to find a way to work on this and find groups that I can be a part of?
Well, of course, you're going to have people who take a positive aspect and try to be a part of programs like Lakita's and be a part of some of the other programs I mentioned in the column. But then, again, you're going to have some people who act out and because they don't have or they don't see another way to act. Like, for instance, you know, I visit a lot of schools and I talk to a lot of young people. And I think the anger goes beyond just the violence that especially our young black boys endure. It's the always feeling like you're a suspect kind of thing that our boys endure. Like, I remember over the summer, I went to this program where these boys had got together and these men were talking to them about, you know, how do they feel when they go to the store and things like that. And I remember this young man said when he would go into like this gas station to buy snacks or something like that, he talked about this look. And it's the look that he gets from adults who always suspect that he's up to no good. And he said, even though he doesn't steal or do anything like that, when you're constantly being portrayed as a threat or as someone who will steal something, take something, hit you or do something bad to you, it makes you want to act out. And people like this young man who I see is on the fence, they need programs to keep them on the straight and narrow, because we all know that it only takes one instance to get you in trouble. And once you get, you know, involved in the incarceration web, it's almost impossible to get out.
Briefly, while you're working from that end to keep those kids in the straight and narrow, are there ways to reach out and maybe have the storekeeper not give that look?
You know what? That's a conversation that I think this community needs to have. It's a conversation our nation needs to have. It's a deep conversation about race, and it's something that no one wants to be looked at as a racist. So, you know, I don't know how you even start that conversation. I've written columns saying how it could start, though. I said, you know, start having lunch with someone who doesn't look like you. Just don't work with the person. Get to know who that person is, who you probably don't even talk to any other time. Get to know people who just don't look like you. Include people in your circle who are of different races and things like that, and start that conversation.
We're talking to James Causey and Lakita Caldwell about community programs in Milwaukee, trying to build community and reduce violence. And we want to hear from you. What programs do you think could help young people, or maybe anybody for that matter, feel like a part of the community? Have you done what James just said, gone out and had lunch or dinner with someone who's part of a different community in one way or another, somebody you usually wouldn't cross paths with in daily life? Have you gotten involved in an effort, a community effort like the ones we're talking about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email talk@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation after the news and get your calls as well. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our discussion now about how some community leaders and community organizations are working to curb violence and build community in Milwaukee. You can join the conversation. Do you have something like this in your town, whether it's Milwaukee or elsewhere? What kinds of programs you'd like to see to make people feel more involved and connected? Do you have suggestions that might help curb violence, foster responsibility, accountability? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email at talk@wpr.org. Staying with us are James Causey, editorial writer and columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Lakita Caldwell, senior program manager at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee. Lakita, you were telling us about the programs you have there and the community organizations that get involved. Do you have a pretty good volunteer base? Do a lot of local people come in and say, hey, how can I help?
Yes, we have a huge volunteer base. A lot of the businesses volunteer for us, like Northwestern Mutual, State Farm. We have a lot, and that's just the few of the companies that volunteer with us. We have colleges, Marquette, UWM, Mount Mary, Alverno. We have a lot of students who volunteer with us as well. So we have a lot. Our kids are exposed to some of the greatest leaders in the city of Milwaukee.
And who are the kids? Can anybody show up and join in, or do you go out to schools and bring people in to participate in things like the Can You Hear Us Now program?
Yes. Right now we are actually recruiting for the 2014-2015 cohort for Can You Hear Us Now, and it takes place at Laverne Way Boys and Girls Club, so any young person between the ages of 13 to 18 can be a part of the program.
And James, in your column that kind of touched off this conversation, Lakita's group is one of the ones you mentioned. What are some of the other bright spots you see in the Milwaukee area?
Well, there are a lot of bright spots, and I just touched on maybe a fraction of them. I mean, there's the garden where they teach young boys how to not only plant seeds for vegetables and things like that. They also, the men act as mentors, and they plant seeds in these young men to teach them how to be men. There's efforts made in MPS led by Kwabanan Nixon and Muhib Dyer, that program where it's like where they get young boys to talk about some of the trauma that they experience. And that's something that you almost have to see for yourself. It's called I Will Not Die Young campaign. And basically, I take the boys out of class and they put them in a separate room, and they have a conversation with them about some of the things that they experience in life, some of the traumas that they experience. And one thing that hit me is when they had roughly 30 or 40 boys in the class, and they said, how many boys here have seen their mother hit or struck by another man? And like 80% of the hands went up. Mm-hmm. How many boys in here who have a relationship with their father? And only like, you know, a handful of boys raised their hand. How many boys have seen someone die or had someone close to you die a violent death? All the hands went up. So when you have things like that, and these traumas are not being addressed in a professional manner, how can you expect kids to come to school prepared and ready to learn when they dealt with so much stuff before they got to school at 7:45 or 8 o'clock? that we can't even imagine. And so those are the traumas that we need to start addressing. And so when we talk about the things that like a public education needs to do, public education has changed since we were kids. I mean, it's not just a place where you learn. These places are social centers where they deal with all kinds of things now that you can't even imagine, and they have to educate all kids. And it's tough. And cutting funding to public education is not the answer, and it's not going to help solve this problem.
I want to bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Rick on the line in Grafton. Rick, hi.
Hi. I want to tell all the listeners out there and the kids that there's hope, because I was homeless for 4 years, very much abused. I'm not going to get all the detail, and I'm white. It doesn't matter what color you are, but my neighborhood, people stabbed each other. They were going to prison. Again, very dark, right? And this is in the 60s and 70s. Now, 30, 40 years later, because of the Boys Club, it wasn't a combined club back then, because of the volunteers, the money given, I'm proud to say that I give back to my community. I'm in a higher income situation, respected my community, and it can be traced back to two organizations, United Way and the Boys Club. If it wasn't for being able to talk to people, hang out there, and have hope, who knows where I'd have been. So I want whatever higher powers to bless these people, and I want the listeners, support the Boys and Girls Club, please.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Rick, thanks for the call. Lakita, Rick, definitely a success story, sounds like, for the then Boys Club. I mean, do you see a lot of those success stories coming out of programs like the ones you do?
Yes, we see it all of the time. People like Denzel Washington are our alumni, Boys and Girls Club alumni. You have Jennifer Lopez. You have Mark Warbar. You have a lot of individuals who said that if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club, they don't know where they would be, because we're a family. We have a safe space for young people. We've been around for 127 years, and we offer a safe space. We go to outside of the Boys and Girls Club. We go to the kids' football games. We go to the basketball games. We're at their schools when they graduate. So it's a holistic social emotional. In our programs, we focus on social emotional learning. It's the whole child. It's the education. It's their emotional ability and the family, because we can't do it by ourselves. We have to know their parents and make sure that their home is okay, because if their lights are out for half of the summer, the kid is not going to be okay when they come into the Boys and Girls Club. Every day we greet them at the door and we say, "How was your day?" And normally when we say, "How was your day?" the young people respond and tell us how it was, and then we're able to help them.
You mentioned, thanks again for the call, Rick. We've touched on one view from the outside. Lakita mentioned these are not inherently bad kids. They're in a bad situation. Another view from the outside, looking in at an urban environment with poverty, is maybe a feeling of hopelessness. James, is it important to overcome that view?
Of course. I mean, you know, it's easy to lose hope, especially in a city that has a lot of problems like ours. You know, we know that we tend to lead all the negative statistics when it comes to, you know, educational gap between blacks and whites, poverty levels, infant mortality, things like that. Sometimes it can seem like, you know, if you're African-American here, you don't really have much of a chance. But, you know, what we need to do, we need to get back to the old way of doing things. We have to stay involved. We have to become mentors when we can. And it shouldn't be up to people like Lakita Caldwell and the Muhib Dyers of the world to try to fix all these problems. I mean, each and every one of us could do a little bit. We could do our part. We could get involved. And, you know, mentoring doesn't cost a thing. You know, and a lot of people think it comes down to cost. Giving your time doesn't cost anything, but it could really save a person's life.
You know, it's no secret Milwaukee, very segregated racially and by income level. Similar stories true in Madison, elsewhere in the state. Lakita, is it important for you that you get community support, not just from the community that you're based in, but from the the white community, the higher income communities of the Milwaukee area?
It takes a village to raise a child. So everyone support, like what James was saying, mentorship is very important. And the Boys and Girls Club, it's affordable. It's $5 for the whole year. So when we go on field trips, if a kid can't afford the $5 for the year, they can still come to the Boys and Girls Club, because we have individuals who give. And that's how we're able to open our doors every day. We have 44 sites in the city of Milwaukee, and we're able to open our doors for $5 for every. We have 41,000 youth that we serve, and we're able to serve all of them because of the support of the community. The community in Milwaukee is great to our local Boys and Girls Club, and we're very grateful for each and every one. Even the dollar, if someone gives a dollar to our organization, a kid is allowed to be off the street and safe and have hope, and they're loved every time they come into our doors.
James, we get a lot of attention to gun violence, in particular in Milwaukee. The mayor's been on our show talking about what he wants to do to turn that around. A lot of the things we're talking about today sound great, but they're not going to pay off, you know, next week. It's going to be a slow burn before these kind of things take an effect. Are there things that you think could make a difference in the shorter run?
Well, you know, shorter run, I think what we got to really focus on is jobs, you know. And this sounds like a broken record, and we all know the answers to these questions. Like, for instance, you know, 80% of black youth don't know what it's like to have a summer job in this city. That's a shame on all of us. I think, you know, if we really want to make immediate change, every company here can say, okay, if we're taking on an intern over the summer, if we're taking on 5 interns, we're gonna stretch our budget and take on a 6th one. If we never had anyone who interned for us, we're gonna take 1 person. I mean, I think when I think about it, I started my first internship in high school when I was like 14 years old, working for the Community Journal, and I had internships all the way through. I was lucky enough. So I was able to see so much. I was able to see professionals and where to work, how to act, how to conduct myself, and things like that that you really don't kind of learn in school. And my parents taught me these things, so I would have learned them anyway, but I actually saw it firsthand from outside of my family structure. So, I mean, a job means so much more than just a paycheck. It teaches you responsibility. It teaches you how to conduct yourself. It teaches you a lot. So we could start with jobs. Mm-hmm. But I want to piggyback off of what Lakita said about the village aspect. None of these problems will be solved by the black community alone, and it can't be looked at as just a black community problem. That's not our problem. If we start doing that, nothing will get solved, because this will take everyone to have a vested interest in the welfare of our kids. I mean, you're looked at as a city. The health of a city is basically based on the outcomes of their children.
Right.
If you have your children struggling and dying on the streets, then who could be satisfied with that? Well, I don't know. I get pretty upset when I hear that, when it's, you know, what should we do? Everyone should be involved.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to James Causey and Lakita Caldwell. They're with us to discuss some of the work being done in Milwaukee to address the violence there.